Welcome to my talk, and let's start. What am I babbling about? About Brno, of course. Like, where to grab lunch, where you are. I'll tell you all about Brno because I know a lot about it. It's my second time here, so of course I know everything. I'll be talking about geo-aware GNOME to make that happen. Right now in GNOME, you don't have, for example, maps. You don't know, like, if you want to just check quickly where you are in the map, you can't do that. You need to find places and stuff. So that's not there, and we're going to do that. So what do we need to do to make it geo-aware, the whole GNOME experience? First thing is geolocation, to find your location, the user's location, and where you are, and show it to you, of course. And the next thing you need is, once you know where you are, you're probably finding where you are because you want to go to some place and you want to see how much distance is there between the place you want to go to and you, and how to get there. And that would be the second thing, to find a route to the place where you are to go to, or if you want to plan your journey. So that also needs a solution in GNOME. And this is something that is on all platforms like Android and iOS or whatever it's called, the Apple's OS, I never use it, so I don't know the names even. They all have it. They all have solutions for these things integrated into their OS, always. So we need something like that. And also, of course, in the end, all these things should needs a UI that shows you all these things, routes and maps and everything, and also to save what you, like if you search for a route, it should save it for you, and later if you want to access that, it should be able to give it to you very fast because it's cached. And also like the places you have searched for previously, so it should be able to show it to you very quickly and not use network at all. So I'll be talking a bit about these four things that I mentioned, and the first of the thing is geolocation. We have a solution already for that since 2005 or 6, a bunch of people, mostly from Finland for some reason, like there's Henry Bergeros and UC Kukkonen, and they both were very much involved in this project, but not like for the last few years, they are not so involved. And they kind of created a good solution, and it was like all of the things they did, they sounded very good ideas at that time, but they ended up making it really, really complicated. I actually haven't really worked on this GeoClue myself, like the old one, but Bastian has been working on that, and he found it really complicated. It creates some APIs, and then those APIs are Dbus APIs are implemented by different services, and then you have to choose the different services which you want, like based on if you want GPS or IP address or all those things. So it's not so nice, and we really need something better. So we mainly Bastian came up with the idea of GeoClue, GeoClue 2, to completely rewrite it, and the main point of this rewrite is having simplicity, and have one service, one simple service, and make it really well documented, and apps can just use that service. And they don't need to care about, or users, admins, and nobody needs to care about different kinds of like sources of where you get the location information from, like GPS or 3G or all those. So so that's the main thing. It should be simple, and it needs to have privacy. Currently, GeoClue gives your location information to all the apps, and you all know that that's not what you want. You want to have control over that. So when an app needs your location, we ask you that, do you want to share your location to this particular app or not? And then when you say yes, we do that, and we also save it, your preference. And then you should have the chance to also change your preference later for different apps. So this is all coming. I already have, actually, like Bastian gave me a design for what he thought the GeoClue 2 should look like, and I mostly agreed with it, so I implemented it. And previously it was on my private Geo Gatorius or something, but just before the talk, like 2 hours before, Bastian moved it to GeoClue repository. So now GeoClue 2 and GeoClue is just merged, and it's just GeoClue now. And the old stuff just doesn't exist there. All the code is overwritten, and we made releases and stuff. But there's one release already, and you can already try it. Currently, I'll talk about the sources a bit. So you need different sources, as I mentioned, for location. And GeoClue is supposed to use these sources and try to do its best to get your location as good as possible. So what are these sources? The first one is GPS and AGPS, assisted GPS. So if you have hardware which gets very accurate information, because GPS is for getting your information, location information very accurately. So if you have it and it is connected to your machine running GNOME, it's the best thing. We can find your location and we display it on maps. I'll talk about maps later. There is Wi-Fi based geolocation. So there is some APIs like there is GNOME, Google API for this, and then there is a free service also. I forgot the name. Open Wireless, I think. So it's both these services. You send them your which Wi-Fis are in range and what's the strength of it, and they give you an indication of the location. And we don't have this right now. We have some patches for Geo, currently GeoCode Glib, but it should be in GeoClue to add this. But it's based on Google, and we don't think we'll get permission to use their API because it's meant specifically for Google Maps. So we can't use it most likely. So we will probably use this open Wi-Fi. Oh yeah, and for privacy concerns as well with this NSA stuff going around. And also 3G, nowadays these 3G modems, they give you location information. It's not that accurate, but it's much better than the next one I'll talk about. We really need this, and I'll be working on that. Currently, we only have this last one, IP-based geolocation. It's only, usually it's city level information, so we can only detect you are in Helsinki, you are in Brno, and stuff like that. And I think it works pretty reliably for that at least. So that's there already in GeoClue. So you can at least get your city location information if you want in your app to do that. You should use GeoClue already. Or if you had the previous GeoClue support for that, you need to port it to the new API and it should work. So once you know where you are, the next step is to explore the area around you or to find places. Like you're going to some country next week, you want to know about what kind of restaurants are there where you're staying and stuff, and the place where you're staying is exactly. So for that, we have something called GeoCode Glib. Who to blame for this? Once again, Bastian. Who doesn't know who is Bastian in here? Good one. So, yeah. Anyway, he does a lot of cool stuff. So, this is one of things he did. And recently I have started contributing to it. So what it does is it's something called geocoding and reverse geocoding. Geocoding is the process of translating string, a text, into location information, like latitude and longitude mainly, and also about getting more details, what kind of place it is, like where the search results that you get. You also get those with this GeoCode Glib. And reverse geocoding is the opposite of that. You point in a map in a place, and you say what's here, and then through reverse geocoding, you can find what's the name of this place and other attributes of the place. If it's a restaurant, so what kind of restaurant and all that stuff. So we don't have currently that much support for like what kind of place it is, but we do have support, basic support for like if it's a city or a country or things like that, or a point of interest, which could be many things. And we so we have this geocoding and reverse geocoding already working in Geocode Glib. You can already use that. And one of the things we recently did with this Geocode Glib was that she was using a pretty, I think it's proprietary API or somehow. Anyway, it's not open API, Yahoo Places. It's that's what it was using, and I ported it to Nominatim, which is a free service and open service, and you can do whatever you want. It's open source stuff, so it's all good. And it's also a lot more populated than Yahoo Places in general. Sorry, what?
So does, when you say like places, are you mostly talking about like cities or like, I mean, I know there's also like stuff like, I want to go to this restaurant. Can I type in the name of a restaurant and it'll give me the location and longitude and latitude? I've also never heard of Nominatim, I guess that's how you pronounce it. I believe OpenStreetMaps has been trying to build some...
It's OpenStreetMap. This Nominatim is from OpenStreetMap. Oh. It's their service.
Okay.
It's actually the same data, like it's the same database.
Yeah.
If you add some something to the OpenStreetMap, it gets to there too.
Okay.
So.
He said that he doesn't have maps.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, I assume it's fairly populated because it's OpenStreetMaps, but I assume that it's like, does it have like restaurants and stuff? I know like Google Maps is very, very populated. You can type in the name of a restaurant or some building, and you'll just. It'll be there.
No, this also finds it. There's a lot of data in there.
Nice.
And yeah, I'll talk a bit more about the data part later.
All right, thank you.
One other thing that we want to be able to do at some point once we get, once we can access GPS as some, an accurate source of location, then we'll be able to input data and provide data for Nominatim. I think that's very important because it's data that we'll end up using.
Okay. Is there some more questions already?
Well, there is a way of using the GPS in cell phones via Bluetooth. So you're exposing the GPS
as a Bluetooth? I doubt so. You have to connect it. Like it's some phones that they expose themselves as a normal modem, and you can get the location information through a modem manager. This Nokia N9 is one of them.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that the new Yola mobiles will do the same, so because they are based on the same software, so they should do it at least.
Well, we can hope.
Yeah, we can hope. Or you can get a dedicated 3G modem.
If you're specifically talking about exporting the GPS info of a modem, couldn't you do that with an application? So an app on the phone that we have, like an app in the Android App Store, and which would export that over, say, Bluetooth?
Okay, so you are saying that we should put up an app that people can download, and then you can...
If there's interest in doing that, in making a wireless coupling.
That's actually a good idea. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll think about it. If I get time, I'll do it. Oh, so in the end, we need a UI to expose all these things together. Like, how do you need to show it? Like, you can get the location of the user. You can find out places. So, how do you show all this information? So, first thing is LibChamplain. It's a library. It was written by this guy in the beginning, Pierre-Luc Badouin. We lost this guy to this company called Apple because I don't know. They don't allow him to work on the things related to his work or something. It's actually a lot of companies do that they don't allow you to work and open source on the same things they are doing in their work because it's conflict of interest or something, at least according to them. So, but before he went away, he did already a lot of good job with this LibChamplan. It's a really nice API already, and we have been using it. And it's not like a GeoClue that we need to replace it because, we don't see the point. So we are working on that as well, like as much as needed, although it already works pretty well. And nowadays it's maintained by this guy, Jiri. Is he here, Jiri, this guy? No? He was supposed to be here. He lives quite nearby, and he said he will come by. So anyway, so he's a nice guy, and he's maintaining it for us. And this LibChamplan, as Jasper was saying about OpenStreetMap, so it uses that. And it's pretty cool because it has open data, and there is no problem of NSA or anyone spying on us with that. Well, actually, they can, but anyway. It's user-driven. Which means that if you like to find some information, it's not there, you can go and just put it there. They have multiple clients, one API, but multiple clients for different platforms, all the platforms. Federico, where is Federico? He's not here. Anyway, Federico was showing me on his iPhone that they have a client for that, the multiple clients, and you can very easily add information to it, especially like something small as like a street or something, like there's a restaurant, your favorite restaurant is missing in it, so you can very easily add with those apps. And that is why over the last few years, this OpenStreetMap has come a very, very long way. Like there was so much data that was missing, but now it's very little data that's missing. I'll encourage you guys, if you are interested in maps and stuff, since you are here, you're interested, right? So please do contribute if you can, and it's very easy and simple. It's a very easy way to contribute to GNOME. It's one of the ways to contribute to GNOME now, actually.
It's a very, like, they have a great web UI for editing, and it's really, really just fun to play.
Yeah,
around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So while Pierre Luc was working on this map stuff, he also wrote an app called Amarillin. The problem with it is it wasn't meant for GNOME 3, so the UI it doesn't look like anything like a GNOME 3 app. And it's very little work. It was pretty incomplete. So there was no point of reusing that part, at least. But we are using LibChamplan, which is the bigger part of the work. And we went for a new application called Maps. It's designed specifically for GNOME 3. And it's designed by these folks, John McCann and Jakob Steiner, and wait a second, Andreas Nilsson. That was my Swedish accent, right? It was correct, right?
Yeah, more or less. It's yeah.
Okay, let me try again. Anyway, Andreas has been lately a lot more involved. Initial design was from John McCann. He was supposed to present with me today, as you could see his name was there. But since it was rescheduled, the talk, so things got not very synced so in the end. So yeah, I decided to do it alone.
There were other factors as well, right?
Okay, another Swedish guy from the same city, Matthias Bexton. I can't do this. Sorry. So, I don't know. There is some weird thing going around in the city of Gothenburg because the designer is from Gothenburg. This summer, of course, student of mine, Matthias, is from there. He's working on maps. And this guy over there, Kalev, he's also living in Gothenburg, and he's working on something related to the geolocation stuff, but not entirely. He's working on a control center.
Is it going to work outside of Gothenburg?
Actually, there was recently a bug in maps that it was stuck in Gothenburg because that's where I was last time, and it just wouldn't update my location. And I was in US, and it was saying you're in Gothenburg. Sorry. So Matthias is working on a Google Summer of Code project to add routes. Once you know where you are, where to find places, now you need to know to find routes to places. What we that's his summary of code. So there's four types of route, right? Mainly walking, bicycle, car, and public transportation. There's also flying and ships and stuff. But
we,
let's not get into that. And we have different sources for those things. First is OSRM. We want to use this as much as possible. This is yet another project by OpenStreetMap guys. And since it shares the database with the OpenStreetMap, so it's all cool because it's all open. It's all the same guys, same folks, and we can even file bugs, and it's pretty good. And so when you add data and add more data to it, so you also contribute to this project as well at the same time. So we will be using that for car at least. They have car routing. They should have bicycle, but I don't think they do in this service. Although in their database they have all the data to do it, and in OpenStreetMap you can render all the, you can select a map type that renders all the cycle routes all over. But that's not what we want. We want something specific, like you want to know from here to here, I want only the cycle route from this place to this place. And that's not there in OSRM, at least right now as far as we know. So there's also, other than this, there's country and city specific routing APIs. And we have plan for plugins, depending on where you are, since we can detect where you are. So based on that, we will choose the plugin, the best plugin for you, that will give us routing information about, or find the routing for your city, or at least your country. There is, at least in all the European countries, there's the APIs available, and cities as well, like the big cities, we have really good especially in Nordic countries, there's really, really good APIs and very reliable. People use them every day. So we will be using that, and Matthias is working on that, so if something goes wrong, it's his fault. Demo. The pinpoint steals my mouse, so... I'm really sorry, I can't see the mouse. Is there any shortcut to move my window to there?
It's still going to hide your mouse, even if the mouse is outside the pinpoint window.
Yeah, I know, but is there a way to like...
We can use alt space and send to...
Okay, I found somehow put the mouse there. Okay. Ah, no. Okay. Can you see anything?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't think we want to, but yeah.
Oh, it came here. Okay, now I have mouse, so it's not a problem. Yay! So as you can see, it through GeoClue, it knows your location, so it shows it there. And it's very basic right now. We just started it, so don't expect much or anything at all. So you can search for places. I'll search for places that are already cached, so it doesn't take long on this network. It doesn't depend on network then. There is a place in France, I didn't know that. Okay, so, and then you can zoom in and stuff. And there's this button that takes you right to your location. Currently it's a toggle though. And
excuse me? What?
Just a second. I want to demo something that needs So you can change the currently that. But our satellite information is pretty limited in this OpenStreetMap source. If you zoom in, if you're in US, it's pretty good. Like it's the information I think is coming from some US government agency. So it's because of that. So yeah, it's coming on this network, so.
Everybody stop downloading.
Someone had a question? I can.
Yes. Getting this. I was asking about or wondering about the map projection you're using.
Sorry, what?
What map projection are you using? Okay, that explains why the Iceland and Nordic countries were so huge. Okay.
So yeah, as you can see.
If we were doing this just for Sweden, we wouldn't have used WebMercator. We would use something like RT90 or something like that. But that's not something that you need to care about.
So. Yeah, that's. That's mostly it.
So New York, and New York City are two different places.
There's many places by New York.
City, New York State.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So as you can see, it's pretty good in for New York at least. So if you're a New Yorker, you can already use it pretty good now. Okay. Was there any left? Nope. Nothing left. So, except for this nice picture. Mark Andre, you have a question? Yo, why do you have a mic then? Okay, no questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
About the GeoClue API, does it include your compass orientation? Which direction you are facing? GPS.
We have it in plan, at least. No?
Okay.
Right now, no, but it's extensible. There's properties. So we are like that. Velocity as well. Interesting. I'm just thinking about like IBI. Do you use the microphone?
It's mute, I think.
Sorry.
How about now? Okay. No, I was just commenting that velocity and compass direction is helpful for IVI, especially if you can cache that when you lose your GPS between toll.
Could you put up on the screen the DBus API for GeoClue?
You don't like cat pictures? DBus API.
The GeoClue 2 DBus API.
In which form? Like the XML?
Yeah, the XML.
Okay. If you insist. Hmm. Can you see that?
Yeah. If you go down.
Wait a second. I'll just put it on all over screen.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's as simple as it is right now.
So this, the properties will be able to add more.
Yeah. That's it?
I have a question. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Do you get the tiles from OpenStreetMap or do you render
tiles
locally?
Yeah. We currently have tiles. Matthias has been dreaming about rendering the vector data himself.
Yes, that would be better.
Yeah. But yeah, Matthias can answer.
Okay. So there's been a lot of work on, there's a trend of moving to vector data and actually running it by themselves and actually doing that as tiles. So I've been watching what Mapbox has been doing in this regard, and yeah, it's interesting and something that I would like to work on if I had infinite time this fall. So if someone can give me infinite time, sure.
So back in Bangalore, I actually attended a session on open maps, and one of the things is that I think there are some countries that have issues with people. I know that places aren't mapped very well in open maps as compared to Google Maps, which is because it's a new project. That's fine. My question is just that a lot of countries, if I remember reading it right, had a problem with Google mapping places. You know, like going around cities and then mapping restaurants and all,
yeah,
because they were saying that it's a form of surveillance.
Yeah.
And how does OpenMap, as in how does Geocode Glib and OpenMaps plan to deal with that? Can you throw some light on that?
So, Google has the resources to go around and like do those things, but OpenStreetMap doesn't, and that's why, as I said, it's user-driven. So, if you want your town to be in the OpenStreetMap, you have to yourself go and add it in there.
My question is more about how a lot of people weren't okay with it, okay with Google going around and
yeah,
you know, mapping places because
yeah,
they didn't want
to. Yeah, but we are not doing
that. That wasn't the problem.
Okay.
The problem, what Google did was they mapped out all the Wi-Fi access points, and in some cases they were open, no security, and they apparently captured some of the traffic that was coming from those. So, yeah, they might have been somebody typing in the password for their unencrypted emails that ended up in logs that Google got.
Thank you.
Okay, so anyone else? No? Okay, thanks for coming and appreciating my Swedish accent attempts.